It's good to be here, amen. Yeah. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of a good report. And a number of years ago, actually when we were in Tankerville Road, if you believe, I preached a message on possessing a promise and what it takes to possess the land that God has spoken of. And this morning, I want to take you back to the story of the children of Israel and the 12 spies that went into the promised land. And we're going to go into that story, and I'm not going to preach you a message that you haven't heard this morning, I'm sure. I'm probably going to preach you some things that you've already heard. But I want to speak you a message of faith this morning, because I believe that where we stand today is a day that we have to stand in faith. We have to stand so strong in faith. And I believe so strongly that if we can believe in a good report, if the power of a good report is so crucial. What we speak can change our worlds. We're created in the image of Almighty God, and He spoke and He created this world. And we're created in His image. And you might hear some things that I say today and you're like, Ruth, you've said that before. And I'm like, that's okay. I'm quite fine with that. So repetition is a really great thing. And I've worked out that sometimes repetition is just you just speaking your life message, eh? So speaking the power of a good report is what we're going to talk to you about. But I want to take you back a little bit first to a holiday that we had as a family. We went down to the Catlins, and we had a wonderful holiday, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because there was a moment in our holiday, we were driving in the car, and there was this one moment that I'm like, what I say is going to define our whole holiday. It's going to define not just now, but it's going to define how we remember it, and it's going to define actually whether we had a holiday. You know how you have times when you go, this is a defining moment. So we're in the Catlins, and the weather was a little bit like this. Margaret, can you put up the video of me? Yeah.
God's hair dryer.
Beautiful. Yes. The power of a good report. I had a moment in that car where I'm like, what we say about this holiday is going to define whether we have whether I actually have a holiday. Or whether I come home and it was stink weather, it rained nonstop. Do you know what? We had the most amazing holiday. There were times when, can you show the next video? We ran in the rain into the waterfalls and we saw things like this because of the rain. Because of the rain, we saw the most beautiful waterfalls. It was absolutely stunning. We had a fantastic holiday, but I had this moment in the car, and you know, some little moments stick out for you in life where you're like, what I do now is really important. And our whole family remembers that as a great holiday, not as the weather. We remember the fun we had in the midst of it all. So I want to talk to you today about the power of a good report. And we're going to go with the 12 spies into the promised land. And it's definitely not a new message, but it's a reminder in our faith. So the story, we can find it in Numbers 13 and 14, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 1. But let's go to Numbers 13, verses 1 to 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. And I'm kind of imagining what it must have been like to be one of those leaders who was picked, you know. Like, man, I get to go in. I get to go and see. What a responsibility. Kind of exciting, a little bit nervous, you know. But we get to go in and see. The responsibility on them was huge, wasn't it? So 12 spies went in and they had a mission, didn't they? It was mission, go search it out. This was what God had said. I want you to have your eyes open. I want you to go and see what I'm sending into you, because I'm going to give you this land. So they went in, and Moses said, bring back a report and bring back some fruit of the land. So we can go on to the next verse, and it says, they came back and they said, they told him, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. And I think the next slide that I've got, you know, they brought back a bunch of grapes that it took two guys to carry on a pole between them. You know, I've not seen grapes like that. I don't know about you, but they brought back fruit. They're like, this is exactly what God has said. The land is exactly what God has said it's going to be. God had said to the children of Israel through Moses, I'm going to give you this land, and it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. So they brought back this fruit, and it was massive. Everybody could see. I thought that was quite clever of Moses, eh? Bring back some fruit so people can see. We all sometimes need to see a little something. Show me that it's actually going to be what you say it's going to be. You know, sometimes we need a little indication. If only they kept their eyes on the grapes, eh? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, but, there's a little word in some versions, that little word, but. So they started their report, and they said, we went into the land where you sent out, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit, but. Sometimes we stop and we go, yeah, I know it's exactly what you're saying, God. I know it's exactly what you have for us, but. The verse carries on. It says, nevertheless, that's the big word for but, nevertheless. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of the Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, man, they're rattling them off, aren't they? And the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. So they came back and they're like, it's inhabited. And it's inhabited by lots of people. And it's freaky. Do you know what? I don't think it was a problem, the report that they brought back so far. God has said, go and see what it's like. Go and tell us what it's like. Go with your eyes wide open. The problem wasn't the report they brought back. It's what happened then. Because you could hear, you know, you could hear as they began to start saying, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. People are like, Amalekites? Oh my gosh, we've heard of the Amalekites. You know, do you remember hearing about what happened when the Amalekites went against that people? All of a sudden, you could hear noise. How do I know? Because it says that Caleb had to quiet the people. You know what it's like when somebody gives a report and all of a sudden people start talking. People start talking, and they're not necessarily talking about all the good things that are going on. They're not talking about the grapes. Man, I think my eyes might, I don't know. I don't know what I would have been like in that situation. Would my eyes have been fixed on the grapes, or would I have heard about the Amalekites and the Jebusites and all these ites? Man, there's heaps of ites there. Amorites, Jebusites, Hittites, there's all these ites. Ah! Verse 30 says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. That was the spirit of Caleb. That was the spirit of Caleb. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. And we need to be people that have a different spirit so that we can see the circumstances yet still speak in faith. Yeah? That is who we have to be. We have to be people that we don't deny what we can see. God actually said, go and check it out. I want you to check it out. I think he just wanted to gloat. Because this is one I want to take you over. God didn't have a problem with what he was going to get them to conquer. He didn't have a problem at all. The only people that had a problem with what he were going to conquer were them themselves. Yeah. I honestly believe Joshua and Caleb saw the land through the promise that God had spoken, rather than through the things that they could see. We are well able. Why are we well able? Because they knew who was with them. They'd just come out of Egypt. God had just parted the seas and brought them through. There's all these amazing things that had just happened to show them that God was for them and he was bringing them out to bring them in. But this story is an amazing story, but it's so solemn and sad as well. Because I don't believe for a minute that God intended for the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I believe he brought them out to take them in, to possess. And I don't believe in your life God intends for you to wander around. He intends for you to conquer. Yeah? And so, I don't know, but this was a destiny moment for the children of Israel, and they didn't even realize that they were living in a destiny moment. I don't know if they realized that their response to the report that was given was going to affect their destiny. And there's so many times, like that little moment in the car for me, that was a little destiny moment, not a massive moment in life, but it was a destiny moment which would determine whether my holiday was a holiday or was just a walk in the rain. One big storm. Yeah? Because honestly, coming back and telling you all it was one big storm would be very true. Yeah? But my report framed my time so it was a holiday rather than a storm. I wonder, can you hear the crowd? And it's very easy for us to look at the children of Israel and go, oh man, how did they do that? That's so wrong. They should have so been with Joshua and Caleb. But let's just put ourselves in their shoes, in their sandals actually, for a minute, you know? And actually think, what are we actually like in these situations? We mightn't be in the wilderness with sandals on our feet, but we might be facing some pretty tough times in our work situation. We might be facing some pretty tough times in a family situation. We might be facing some other things. What are we like in those situations? What is our focus on? What is it on? Is it on God? Or is it on the circumstances? Let's be those people who don't let the giants define us, but rather let the word of God define and influence our actions. There's a great quote that I read this week. It says, don't show God your problems, show your problems your God. So many times our problems get illuminated to bigger than the God that we serve. But our God is a big, big God. He spoke and created the whole world. Our problems are minuscule in comparison. Numbers 13, verse 31, it carries on. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they were stronger than we. They'd made a decision. This is so sad because these are leaders that came back and said, we can't do it. We can't do it because they're stronger than we are. So sad because there was a generation that missed out because of that. I'm like, whoa, that's sad. You know, dreams can be destroyed because of doubt and discouragement. Let's never be people that bring a report that destroy the dreams of others because of our doubt and discouragement. Let's never be those people. Sometimes it's better just to zip it, eh? Just say nothing. Just say nothing. Carrying on to verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we've gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it were men of great stature. I think even if they'd kind of stayed there, there would probably have been redemption. But they carried on even further, and they said, there we saw giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. So they took the circumstances and they defined themselves according to the circumstances. Wow. How many times do we define ourselves according to the circumstances that we're living in? Is that what is defining you? Is that what is defining you? Grasshopper? They'd just seen plagues. God had set them free with amazing things like plagues of locusts and things like this. And now they use a grasshopper to describe themselves? It makes my mind kind of, whoa. Because they just seem like a plague of locusts totally obliterate everything. And they call themselves grasshoppers. Well, even a grasshopper in the hands of God can do an amazing thing, you know? Like the locusts totally clear things out. It's all about perspective, isn't it? So it was a destiny moment again. It was a destiny moment for the children of Israel. Here they stood. They're like, are we going to believe what Joshua and Caleb said? Or are we going to believe what the majority are saying here? There's 10 spies come back and they're saying, we can't do it. We can't take it. It's too big. The people, they're giants. They're giants. And that's possibly truth. They probably were giants. But it doesn't matter. Because God has said, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the land. We've got to so allow what He says to dictate our actions rather than what we see. The sad, sad thing in here is that they begin to define themselves by their circumstances. So they put their own definition on the situation. And was it a fair definition? Possibly. But was it God's definition? No. No. And so you can imagine what happened. Now you can just feel it. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine what the murmur would be like? It's a bit like reading one of those conversations on Facebook that just goes woof, 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 and explodes. You could feel like they didn't need to bring in, hire a crowd, you know. They had their crowd and they had it incited, you know. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh my gosh. He just brought them out. He just rescued them. He just killed the Egyptian army behind them in the sea. And they're like, if only if we'd died back in Egypt. Take me back to Egypt. Oh my goodness. It's so, so sad, this story. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. The scary thing is what you say in these moments What you say in these moments of hard circumstances is very, very powerful. It's very, very powerful. God has been speaking to me about that, saying, Ruth, be very careful what you say. Be very careful what you say in these moments. Because do you know what? The children of Israel prophesied over themselves. God's intent was never for the children of Israel to die in the wilderness. His intent was to take them into the promised land. Well, that was exciting, wasn't it? But they literally prophesied over themselves. We are called to be promised land possessors and not wilderness wanderers. This is the really solemn bit. God didn't bring the children of Israel out of Egypt for them to wander in the wilderness. That's actually what they said to God. And he ended up pretty much saying to them, because you say this, that's what you will do. Sometimes that messes with my theology. God is going to rescue me from everything, you know? But he's like, this is a very solemn moment in the Word. For me, it is anyway. It's like, whoa, weighty. Friendly message for you this Sunday morning. friendly message. In Numbers 14, verse 33, there's not a slide for this one, Margaret, because I didn't want to put it upon the screen. Says, but as for you, you will drop dead in this wilderness, and your children will be like shepherds wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In this way, they will pay for your faithlessness until the last of you lies dead in the wilderness. Or in Joshua 5, verse 6, it says, the Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them, he'd sworn to them that they would not see the land he'd solemnly promised. That's so interesting, isn't it? Because there's two promises there. One, that he promised them that they would go in and receive the land. And then he had to swear to them that they were not going to. A land flowing with milk and honey. Numbers 14 verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me truly, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Who are we going to be? Who are we going to be? Who are we going to be? It's a destiny moment, eh? You'll notice them in your life. There's little destiny moments. Sometimes you look back and go, oh, that was a destiny moment. I wish I'd known. I wish somebody had said, what you decide to do now or what you say now is a destiny moment. Because then I might have been a little bit different. But you know what? We don't have to worry about those things. There's a key in that verse, Numbers 14, verse 24. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. That's the key. That's the key. What spirit is inside of you? What spirit is inside of you? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and soundness of mind. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. That's the spirit of this house. Isn't it? That's the spirit of this house. That's who we are, folks. We're a Caleb people. We're a Joshua people. We can see beyond the circumstances. We can see beyond the situations. We can see what God has said and we can walk in it. Amen? Yeah. We've got destiny moments ahead of us. We've got lots of them. We've got lots of destiny moments ahead of us. We're actually in a destiny moment right now. How we respond to the circumstance that we are in, some of it we don't like because we feel a little bit like this, but squeezed in. Don't like it. Don't like being squeezed in. Want a bit more space. Want to be able to bounce around and have as much space as I like. How we respond in these moments, these are destiny moments. They might not feel like it, but they are. The little murmurings that can happen. Have to sit beside me. There's no room for me to get my. Have to walk for car park. Car park. Destiny moments, folks. They're just little things, but they're destiny moments. They're destiny moments. Because what we do with these little things determines what we'll do with the big things. We're going to be faced with some, this is what we need to achieve building a building. What are we going to do when we see that? What is going to come out of our mouths? Oh my gosh, can't do that. Did you see how much that they've said that they're going to spend? Oh my goodness. If you know, like the children of Israel, they're like, let's get another leader. Let's get another leader. We don't want this one. I'm like, it was all there happening in that moment. It was all there happening in that moment. All the swirl of stuff was going on. And what was that? Let's get another tent. Take me back to the tent. No. So funny. I tell you what you listen to matters. What you align with matters. What you meditate on matters. Your perception will influence your reality. And sometimes our mindset influences our perception. So I tell you what, be careful what is going on in your mind. The mindset of fear brings paralysis and defeat. The mindset of faith brings courage and bold action. You know, it's the ability to see beyond to the fulfillment of God's promises. Are we going to look at the grapes or are we going to look at the giants? I quite like grapes. Giants are good for a stone. Yep. The mindset of fear and self-doubt led to discouragement and rebellion. We're just talking about what you meditate on matters. And I love the whatevers. I don't know if you refer to them as that, but I do. I refer to them as the whatevers in Philippians 4 verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, there it is again. Whatever is virtuous, whatever is praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Those are the things that got to fill our mind. Do you know what? When you think about things, it creates pathways in your mind. They're scientifically proving the scripture. Isn't that clever? Science is catching up with what God has designed. What you think about creates neuron pathways in your mind. The more you think about it, the bigger the pathway, and the easier it is to go there. So don't think about the bad stuff. That's why Jesus said it. Don't think about the bad stuff. Don't deny it. Just don't think on it. Don't waste your time on it. Don't let it steal your peace. Think about what God says. There's a great message on that that Joel Osteen has just preached, if you feel like having a wee listen. It's a fantastic message on rewiring your brain. It's great. Have a listen. It's fantastic. If we spend time thinking about things worthy of praise and good report, we're less likely to stumble in areas of danger, doubt, and fear. If our thoughts are fixed on God, He'll keep us in perfect peace. That's where we want to be. So I want to go just quickly and go practically, what is a good report? It's in the natural, it's something that's clear, it's accurate, it's concise, it's coherent, and it's relevant for it to be effective. For us, a good report is the right spirit. Yeah? And we're living in days where we need to be full of His Spirit so that it comes out of our mouth in faith, not fear. Yeah. We can look really quickly at the lineage of faith in Hebrews 11. And the interesting thing when I was reading that this week is not all of them saw what they were praying for or believing for. They died in faith. When you got your miracle, you don't need faith anymore. Interesting thing to think about, is it? They're commended for their faith. We're going to see lots of the miracles. We're going to see that. Don't you worry about that. But faith is holding on to what God has spoken, yeah? And we're in the process of learning to trust God more deeply. Like what Bill Johnson says. He says, don't just look for the miracle. Look for the good word. Because you can get joy in the moment. And you can live in peace. You can live in that good word. If you're just living for the miracle or living for the answer, then that's a kind of a, it's going to happen then. But let's live in the good word, yeah? And let's pull on the joy. It's that report. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We really don't want fear to overtake our faith, but rather faith to dispel our fear. Yeah? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When we're talking about good reports, a good report doesn't deny what it sees. And I guess putting my pastoral care cap on, I'm like, never do that. Never deny your circumstances or your situation, because you're lying to yourself if you do that. But always look at it through what God has spoken. Always look at it through what God has spoken. Because that's the view that we want to be in, yeah? The good report can actually propel us into our destiny. Unlike those people in the children of Israel in the wilderness. It just saddens me that there was a whole generation that never got to see what God had for them. And it was literally just across the river. They were right there. Let's never be just right there and miss out because we can't see through His eyes. Let's never be that people. Let's be a people who go, what does God say? What is God saying about this? And He's always saying something. He's always speaking something, isn't He? He's always speaking something. If you can't hear Him, read His word and say, God, what are you saying about this? What is your promise? And if you don't have a now one, go back to the last one that He said to you. What was the last word that He said to you? Go back to that. And believe that. Let's be ones that are propelled into our destiny because we believe a good report. And please let us never be ones that bring a bad report that cause others not to go in. I go, yay, we've got all the surge crew in with us today. I am so excited for you guys living in what Pastor Janet has seen and actually living in that. I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about us all being and seeing not just a building. It's not about a building. But it's about seeing God moving and God releasing. And it's like what Grant was talking about before. pushing things out and being able to walk in faith. Peter was totally in faith in those situations, wasn't he? I was thinking in the worship of them when they were stuck in the prison, and I felt like there were some people here today that you actually feel like your circumstances are a prison for you. You actually feel like they are actually engulfing you, they're a prison. You can't get out. You need a praise. You need a praise. You need a praise in the prison. You need a praise in the midst of these circumstances. You need a praise and see him do what only he can do. Yeah, when the children of the spies came back and they said, we can't do it because it's too big. Probably true, but God wanted to do it. God wanted to take them out and take them in. Yeah, what we've got to do, we can't do it. We can't. But God wants to do it. What he wants to do in and through this place, he began in the Spirit and he wants to finish in the Spirit. So we have to be of the different Spirit. We have to fill ourselves with him. We have to know his Spirit in us so that we can do it and go and take what he calls us to take. And I so want you to apply this personally. Because what's the point of a word if you don't, you know, if it's just like some fluffy words that, you know, wasted a whole morning. Not me, but you, like sitting here. Like there's plenty of other things you can do with your life. Isn't there? But be encouraged in your faith. Be encouraged in your faith and think, what is the good report that I need to be speaking? What is it that I need to be speaking? And then I want to think a little bit more. Maybe it's not even just a good report, but maybe it's a God report. We need to speak the God report. We need to speak the God report over our lives. We need to speak the God report over our nation. We need to speak the God report over the nations. The intercession thing that Kim was talking about before, that's declaring what God says. Not what Ruth says, not what Kim prays. It's what God says over those situations. It's what God says over your life. Let's not just be going for a good report. Let's be going for the God report. And I loved when I did this. I'm like, oh, he's ended up with a cross on there, hasn't he? Some of you saw it, didn't you? I'm like, wow, that was accidental. It was never accidental for him, was it? If we bring everything under the power of the cross, then we're living in the winning, aren't we? We're living in the winning. That is what I want to encourage you in this morning, church. What is your report? The good report? The God report. Let's just take a moment. And let's think about some situations in our lives. Let's just like make it practical to us. Okay? So we're just going to take a moment. I just want you to close your eyes and say, God, what is the situation that I'm in at the moment that you want to give me the God report on? That you want me to align my mind, my thinking, and my speech with the God report? I'm just going to take a moment just to think about that. God, I ask that as we just have this moment, Lord, that you would drop into everybody's hearts like situations and circumstances where you want to speak your report. You want to say, but God over. You want to say, but God over the situations and circumstances. Lord, I ask for that, Lord, that here, right across this whole place, Lord, that there would be things come to mind where we could go, this is what you say. This is what you say. This is what you say. No, for some of us, we actually need to take what God is saying and write it down. We need to take the God report and we need to put pen to paper, like Grant said, activate the pen, and write down what that God report is. Write it down and say, how is that now going to define my speech? How is that going to define my action? Because I might have been living in fear, but now I want to be living in faith. I want to bring my problems and show them my God. Amen? Well, church, that is me. That is what I wanted to share with you this morning. Thank you. There may be some of you here today and go, I want some other people to gather around me and just encourage me in that. And that's what it's all about, journeying together, eh? Is that we can get other people around us and say, and encourage us in our faith and speak in. Some of you practically, it's just coming to my mind now, some of you practically, like I said, you need to actually write out what the God report is, and then you need to not just keep it to yourself, but you need to choose one or two people that you're going to share that God report with, and you're going to give it to them, and you're going to say, please hold me accountable to the God report. When fear is coming at me, I want you to hold me accountable to the God report. When doubt is coming at me, I want you to hold me accountable to the God report. Because we are living in days where we have to have the God report. Yeah? And there's a very practical thing that we can do. But I guarantee that if you don't write out the God report, it's not going to be what comes to your mind when you're feeling all that stuff come around you, right? It's probably not what's going to be coming to your mind. Holy Spirit sometimes is amazing, and he does bring us things back to memory. But sometimes we need to see it in black and white in front of us and go, actually, this is what God has said. This is the God report. This is the God report. And this is what I'm going to hold to. So maybe a little bit of homework for you. It is for me. Recognize this week that there's some lies that I've allowed to be Lord in my life rather than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They can't be. So I'm taking his report, and that's going to change my life. Yeah. If there's some of you that you would like some prayer into that area, you know, where you feel like fear or whatever is actually overwhelming, where you feel like actually all you can see is the giants and you need some others to gather around you, then I'm going to open up this altar and we can. If there's anybody here who goes, actually, I like the sound of that God who can conquer giants. I like the sound of that God who can come alongside me in the middle of my troubles. Then we'd love to introduce you to him, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is greater than every circumstance that can be thrown your way. He's amazing. He never tells us that he'll take us out of things. He will rescue us if we need it. But he will walk alongside us in the middle of the hardest of things. And so if there's anybody who would like to be introduced to Jesus, we'd love to do that too. And so I'm going to open this altar. Maybe if who was on the keys would like to come, we'll do that keys thing. Thank you. Yeah. Did you have something you wanted to say? Yeah. He is greater. He is greater. You're going to take your promised land. I'm going to take my promised land. Because we together have a different spirit. And we're believing the right report. Yeah? Yeah. Very cool. I'm going to pray and release the meeting. And if you want a prayer, you're welcome to come. Otherwise, can go and enjoy some tea and coffee. Father God, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the privilege of gathering together as a part of your family. God, and I thank you for each one who is here in this room. I thank you that you know them intimately. You know their circumstances, you know their situations, and you care about each one of them. And Father, I ask that you would release your word. You would release your word into their circumstances and their situations, Father God. And Lord, I ask that we would open our ears to hear your word. That we would hear it louder than the circumstances and the situations, Father God. Lord, as we go into Monday, as we go into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and whatever the rest of the week holds, we thank you that you go before us, just like you went before the children of Israel, Lord. You make a way where there seems to be no way. And so we declare that over this people this morning, Lord, that you are the God who goes before, Lord. I declare that over every circumstance, that you are the God that goes before and you are the God that shelters behind, Father God. I thank you for your leading and your guiding this week, Lord. Amen.